Dear congregation, children, young people, we can't do much nowadays without electricity. When the power goes off, we are quite stuck in many ways, especially when it's at night. To use a lamp or an appliance, we need power. However, if my lamp or my appliance isn't plugged in and switched on, it still doesn't work. It must be connected to that source of power. It must be plugged in and switched on, connected to the power source. And then, of course, it has to be also in good working order. When we put on the light, and if the light bulb is broken, it still won't give light. But the main thing for lamps and appliances still is the power supply. We may have them all in good working order. We may have them all plugged in, switched on, but we have no power. Everything stands still. In a way, this is a picture of what the Christian life is all about. It's like the doing of the works, the good works that God commands us. We cannot do it without being connected, reverently speaking, to the power of God. Without His power at work in us, we can't do good works at all. But indeed, when we are connected with this divine power, by grace, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can do all things. As the Apostle says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Through Christ's power dwelling in us. So with God's help, we wish to consider that this morning from our text, which is Philippians 2, 12b, 13 and 15. It's actually the whole passage, 12 through 18, but we'll read only part of 12, verse 13 and 15, and then also Lord's Day 32, which you can find on page 68 in the back of your Psalter. Let's read and hear God's word. Philippians 2:12b. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. And then 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And Lord's Day 32, question 86. Since then, we are delivered from our misery, merely of grace, through Christ, without any merit of ours. Why must we still do good works? And the answer, because Christ, having redeemed and delivered us by His blood, also renews us by His Holy Spirit after His own image, that so we may testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude to God for His blessings, and that He may be praised by us also, that everyone may be assured in himself of his faith by the fruits thereof, and that by our godly conversation others may be gained to Christ. Question 87. Cannot they then be saved who, continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives, and are not converted to God? And the answer, by no means. For the Holy Scripture declares that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, covetous man, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or any such like, shall inherit the kingdom of God. With God's help, we will have this theme and points. Let your light so shine. In the first place, we will consider a power to receive. In the second place, a pledge to believe. And in the third place, a purpose to achieve. Let your light so shine, a power to receive, a pledge to believe, and a purpose to achieve. So in the first place then, a power to receive. We need that power. As a light needs power to shine, so we need God's power to shine as lights in this dark and evil world among a crooked and perverse nation. You see, dear congregation, when God commands us to work out our own salvation and so shine as lights in a dark world, that doesn't mean to leave us to our own resources, to do it by our own power. No, the entire Word of God makes it very plain that salvation is of the Lord from the very beginning to the very end and everything that's in between. We saw that also in the beginning of Philippi. Chapter 1, 5 and 6, where God not only began, but also performed and continued the good work which He began. He began the good work. All power is in Him and from Him and returns back unto Him through our Lord Jesus Christ. For it cannot be understood separate from Him. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we saw last time, is not only our life, dear believers, but also example, our example that we must follow. The example which He lived by, His own life of submission to His Father's will, service, and sacrifice. He not only came to live for us, but also to die for us. And so He set before us, and so He came to us as the light of the world, and you and I couldn't even begin to shine as lights had He not come, the light of the world, as we saw last Sunday evening from John 12. So the power is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in His name particularly. His name is not only a revelation of something that can be known, but it's a revelation of the power itself. The Apostle Paul makes it very plain in Philippians 2. In the first 8 verses, he reminds us how the Lord Jesus Christ humbled Himself, became obedient even unto death. He became the servant of God, not only to earn life for us and salvation for us, but also to apply it to us. Not only to do it for us, but also before us. For us, so we may have His life before us, so that we may know what to do. Looking to Him, following Him, becoming more and more like unto Him. You see, He earned our salvation by doing that which we failed to do. Living a perfect life. And by undoing the punishment through His death on the cross. So that we by faith in Him and in His name may have His life and live His life after Him. That's why the Apostle Paul writes his two wherefores, the one in verse 9 and the other in 12. Verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him. Wherefore, meaning because He humbled Himself. That's why the Lord also exalted Him. And so it is also for those that follow the Lord Jesus Christ. As they humble themselves before Him, they will also be exalted in Him. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted Him and given Him a name, in verse 9, which is above every name. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted up above every name. Why is that? Well, there is power in the name and life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as it was in the Old Testament, boys and girls, there was power, there was life in the name of Jehovah. Jesus means Jehovah who saves. It's a revelation, but it's also a reality. God assures us in His Word in numerous places that He will answer when we call upon His name. And that He will do it for His name's sake. He will do it for His name's sake. And children, that's why we close our prayer with "for thy name's sake" or "for Jesus' sake." It's the same thing. See, there's power in His name. Calling upon His name is not just words, but it is laying hold on who God is. It's amazing. It's hard to explain, hard to express really what it is. Even if you look for an example, and I was thinking of, boys and girls, of our re-elected President Bush. We're very grateful for that. He's a powerful man, is he not? Not only in our land, but even across the world. Now, what gives him that power? Is it the way he looks? Or is it because he's very strong? Or is it because his name is George Bush? No. It is because he is elected President of the United States of America. Jesus has become the Christ, the God-man in whom all power is, to whom all power is given to bring God and man together. Now, the President has much authority being the President. When he speaks, the people listen. They take notes. And they run when he asks something to do what he says or to give him what he asks for. "Yes, Mr. President," they say. Yet, in Jesus' name is much more power. Jesus' name is above every name, even above the name of President George Bush. How? Well, when President Bush commands people to do something, there's a lot of people that don't do it, even though many will. When he speaks, it's still but a man's word, no matter how much power he has been given, because the power he has is not his. It's given to him from above, from a greater power, even the Lord Jesus Christ. For all power is given to him. In heaven and on earth, in Jesus, the great I Am speaks, the I Am that I Am. He speaks as he did when in Genesis 1, boys and girls, when the whole world came into being. He just said a few words and there was a whole earth. Well, he speaks with power and authority. Jesus still speaks with power and authority. He commands, but he not only commands, he also enables us. He moves us to that obedience, to do it, not only for us, but also in us. He works it in us. He not only lived and died for sinners, but he also applies that same salvation by his word and by his Holy Spirit. And then he doesn't stop, but then he continues to work that in us so that we begin to work in response to that. Yet all the while, it's him working it in. That's the beauty of this passage as we work it out. And the question is then, since we are saved by grace, without any of our good works being involved there, why must we still do good works if Jesus did it all? And that's really where our catechism now turns to in Lord's Day 32. Where we have the beginning of a life of gratitude. It's part 3 of thankfulness. Because thankfulness will produce good works. It can't be otherwise. Question 86. Since then we are delivered from our misery merely of grace through Christ without any merit of ours. Why? must we still do good works? And the answer, because Christ, having redeemed and delivered us by His blood, also renews us by His Holy Spirit after His own image. It's remarkable wording. Look at it. If you have it before you, it says, why must we still do good works? And the answer is, because Christ also renews us. That's what it really says. Why must we do good works? Because Christ also renews us. You would expect something, why must we do good works? Well, because we must. No, because Christ does everything. Not only redeemed us, earned salvation for us, but also delivered us by His blood. He applied that to our conscience. So He worked it in us, and now He also will renew us, meaning He will work it out by us working it out. So that we are being renewed by His Holy Spirit to be made more and more after His own image, after the image of Christ, to become more and more like Christ. And all the while, He is doing it. But He's not going to do it for us as He walked upon this earth for 33 years. He's going to do it in us as we indeed work it out, making us like Himself, willing, just like He did, to submit ourselves, to serve and to sacrifice. He is the power. He gives life so that we may shine lights. Not our lights, but His light. He gives life, regenerating us, and He keeps us alive, sanctifying us. We are, Paul says in another place, Ephesians 2:10, His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're not just saved to be saved. We're saved to produce good works. We're saved unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And that's what's so worded so beautifully in the Catechism, that so, with the emphasis on the word so. Sometimes it's good to highlight one particular word. So. Let your lights so shine. That means in that way. That so we may testify. Christ does it. But so that we may testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude to God for His blessings, and that He may be praised by us. And that brings us to our second point, a pledge to believe. For we not only have a power to receive, a power that's ready, that's available, just like as we have electrical outlets throughout our home, boys and girls. But if you don't plug in a cord, then that electricity is of no use to us. God promises us if we would plug in our cord into the electrical outlet, and so we'll have energy, power to have our light shine and to have our appliances work. So the Lord says, there's a pledge that I want you to believe. That so we may testify. There's a testifying. There's a testimony. Let your lights so shine. It is His work in us. And that's the power, like a light that shines only because electricity flows through it. It's very plain that we don't have that power. No power at all. A light cannot begin to shine of itself. Someone else has to plug it in. But Christ has that power, and He pledges to grant it to all who come to Him for it. He makes it very plain at numerous places, and to all who believe in His name. God sovereignly gives it to all who bow the knee to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and who confess His name. Who confess that He is Lord, not only Savior, but also Lord. Not only that He saved them by dying for them,
but Lord, that they will submit to Him and follow Him and obey Him.
That so we may testify by the whole of our conduct our gratitude to God for His blessing, and that He may be praised by us. By confessing His name, by putting our trust in Him, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the I Am that I Am, who says that if you put your trust in Me, I will not put you to shame. If you come to Me, I will in no wise cast you out. You see, dear congregation, we can bring no greater honor to God than to trust in His Son. If it really is your desire to honor God, do what He delights in most. And that's when we come to His Son, that we believe the record He has given to us of His Son. Behold, He says, My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye Him. It's a sign of great humility, really, to trust in Jesus' name for our salvation. For everything you and I could possibly think of needing and actually need is found in Him. We say, O Lord, if Thou, as we come to Him, if Thou hast exalted the name of Thy Son above all other names as my only pleading ground, how should I look for another way? How should I stay away from Him? So come, saying, how can I be so presumptuous to try to please Thee in another way, while Thou hast said so plainly that Thou art pleased only in Him and with those that come to Him? Though I tremble to come to Thee, I tremble more to stay away from Thee. You see, with fear and trembling, our text speaks of. But that's a fear and trembling that will not cause us to flee away from Jesus, but to Jesus. Those who truly are afraid to meet God outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, how could they stay away from the Lord Jesus Christ? Confessing indeed that we are utter failures, totally corrupted, sinners to the core. No good work in me forever. Not even my prayers, not even my best religious activities. Nothing but sin before God. So we come and say, Lord, I need Thee for everything. From the very beginning to the very end. Here I am, Lord. I confess the name of Thy Son. For Thou said, if we do so, we shall be saved. I plead Jesus' name. I bow my knee to Him. And I confess His name. Believing, trusting that He will work it in me and by me. That's why Paul has a second wherefore. He goes from the first to the second part by comparing Jesus' humiliation to His exaltation to set the name before us. And then the second wherefore comes. Wherefore, he says in verse 12, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For, that's because, and there's the pledge, God pledges that He will do it. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. There is God's pledge to be believed. The Apostle Paul connects Christ's name and power with the obedience of faith. We by nature separated there. And we try to please God in our own ways. And the Lord says there isn't any obedience outside of Christ. There isn't any obedience and pleasing in my sight outside of that name that I have lifted up above every name. Why would we look for another name and for another way when God so plainly says, this is the way. Walk ye in it. All those who so cast themselves
on Christ will not only have their sins forgiven, but also will have the grace to walk the godly life. Will have this power at work in them and by them. God pledges it. He puts his own name on the line, as it were. He says, put your trust in my name and it will come to pass. You may not know and see how it's going to happen, but it will be. As we saw in question 84 in Lord's Day 31, whenever they receive the promise of the gospel by a true faith, every time. So Christ works both faith itself and the obedience of faith. Each time when he convicts us by his word and his spirit of our sin, and we confess it and we take refuge to that name and we lay hold of that name, we're not only forgiven, but we'll also have the strength to walk it. Because the indwelling Holy Spirit, you see, will enable us to do it. It's the very same Spirit who dwells in the Lord Jesus Christ, dwells in every believer. So we may and must lay hold on his name. Not only to do it, but even for the willingness to do it. As the text makes so plain. Working both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God's good pleasure to work it out in us, so that we would work it out. It's his delight. It's not something that we come to God and God grudgingly will do it. He delights to do that. To all who come to him, confessing their sins and looking to his name. It's nothing to do with us. It's everything to do with him. So the gospel began in Philippi, and so it continued. The Apostle Paul said, whether I'm present or not, or absent, it will go on because Jesus Christ is with you. His Holy Spirit dwells within you. Work out that salvation. For it is God who will do it in you, both to will and to do. So when you have a willingness, or you feel an inclination in your heart to do it, well, you know it's not of yourself. If you look to Christ, so that we owe gratitude to him, not only for the doing, but even for the willingness to do it. You note it says work out, not work for your salvation. It's not an earning matter. Literally, the verb says work it to full completion. It's also used for working a mine. It's very interesting. Or working a field. Like working a mine. When a miner goes into the earth, he doesn't get the minerals out of himself. He gets it out of the mine. It's outside of him, and he receives what's in that mine, and he finds it all in the Lord Jesus Christ, every believer does. Inexhaustible mine. Digging for treasures in the Word of God. In the name of God, in the Son of God. It's like working a field, harvesting a crop. Surely with fear and trembling, with great fear and great trembling, knowing how we fall short, not only in the sins we've committed, the sins of commission, but also, yes, mostly in the sins of omission, and that is mostly centered on not making use of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have no faith, or if our faith is weak and poor and faltering, it's because we do not make use of that name. For there all power is given in heaven and in earth. Yes, we fall short of the glory of God, but that's all the more reason to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trusting him to work it in us and by us, as we know we cannot work it ourselves. So the fact that we cannot work it ourselves shouldn't keep us away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Rather, it should drive us and draw us to him. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for, that is, because it is God which worketh it in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God knows we are not only unable, but mostly unwilling. Dear congregation, do you know that too? That in most occasions in your life, it is not so much that you can't do this good thing or that good thing, but doesn't it boil down to being not willing to do it most of the times? We know what we have to do most of the time with our spare time, for example, but are we willing to do it? We know that it would be a good thing to visit widows and the sick and the afflicted, because it's a sign of pure religion, James says, to visit the widows. We know we should do it, but is there really a reason why we can't do that? So many cars available, so much spare time, young and old. Doesn't it really hinge on our will? Let's be honest before God. All kinds of ministries in the church and beyond the church in our neighborhood. Not only visiting the lonely and the sick, but perhaps helping the seminary, moving a couple hours, a couple of some books or things from one building to the next. It's not, you can't do it. It's not much more that we rather do our own things. Perhaps a few hours of volunteering and driving on Sunday afternoon for the Sunday school. The requests have gone out repeatedly for drivers. There are children in this area that can come to the Sunday school because we don't have enough drivers. Would it hinge on your ability or your willingness to come? Not for nothing that this text, it says both to will and to do. It doesn't say do first. It says will first. Because our will is where our problem is, dear congregation. And because we will not, that's why we don't do it. But then, of course, when the Lord does make us willing in the day of his power, then the doing follows. Gladly. That's why the Apostle Paul, knowing this, says, rejoice, for God is at work in you. He sees it in the Philippians, and he wants to encourage that to shine more brightly. It's God's good pleasure. He delights to do it. And those that look rightly to the name of his Son delight to do it also. That work, that God works in us, God works in you, both to will and to do. The word work there is a different verb than the one that is used for work out your own salvation. The working out of our salvation is working the mind. But the work used for God working is the word that we have the word energy from. Power. He energizes us so that we be able to work it out. He will energizing us, both the will to be made willing in the day of his power and to do. That word to do, there is also the word energy, to be energized by him. So to shine as a light with his power. That's the picture. This is God's power, reverently spoken, God's energy. That will cause us to shine as lights in the world, and that has nothing to do with our lights, but everything to do with his light. So that's how the Lord Jesus Christ desires to walk upon this earth in every believer. That a believer, by his words and deeds, can indeed witness and testify that he belongs to Christ. And that really is in the third point, a purpose to achieve. Let your light so shine. Not only do we have a power in the Lord Jesus Christ, every power by his word and spirit, not only is there a way to connect to that power by faith in him, but there is also a result A light must go on. An appliance must work.
And the more we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we work this inexhaustible mind, as it were. The more we draw from Him, we can never exhaust Him. There's always more in Him than we think, and than we can even think of asking and needing. The more His indwelling Holy Spirit will make us willing and able indeed to do good works.
It's the delight of the Holy Spirit to show us the things of Christ. And not only to show us the things of Christ, but to work them in us so that we would work them out.
See, the purpose of redemption is obedience. New obedience, true obedience, gospel obedience. New obedience because the old obedience as it was in paradise is finished. Only now through the last Adam, the Lord Jesus, can we have obedience and good works that pleases God. Must we still do good works? The question then asks. Of course we must. James makes it very plain when he speaks about faith not having good works. He says it's dead. There is no faith. So as without faith, we cannot have good works. So, without good works, we obviously have no faith. Without a hatred against sin and a love for the Lord and for His cause and for His kingdom, we cannot claim to have faith. That's really why question 87 speaks all for itself, doesn't it? Cannot they then be saved who, continuing in their wicked and ungrateful lives, are not converted to God? By no means, for the Holy Scripture declares that no unchaste person, idolater, adulterer, thief, covetous man, drunkard, slanderer, robber, or any such like shall inherit the kingdom of God. Totally impossible to live a life like that and to think to enter in. To live a worldly, sinful life and then to think to go into heaven. It's totally impossible. But you realize that this does not mean that such sinners cannot be saved. That's not what it says. But as soon as they are saved, you see, then they will no longer live in these sins. When they cut out these sins and root them out and put them to death in their lives, you see, then they give the fruit of God at work in them. Because God's Holy Spirit at work in a sinner, then the unholy spirits must leave and shall leave. So if we truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be seen, be visible. That so we may testify, question 86 says, by the whole of our conduct, by our entire behavior, life, our gratitude to God for His blessings. It's out of gratitude, thankfulness for so great deliverance. From sin, from death, and from hell. It ought to stir up in us a desire to praise and to magnify God by day and by night. And that's what really you find a threefold purpose there in that answer. To praise God, and to be assured in ourselves of our faith by the fruits thereof, by the very fact that indeed God is purging us from our sins. Though we see all kinds of shortcomings and sins still, we must still acknowledge that by the grace of God, I am what I am. And thirdly, the third part of the purpose is that others may be gained to Christ. For that's why we shine as lights, that others may see the light. We call it a purpose, even though it's a fruit. But one thing doesn't contradict the other. Even though Christ works it in us, we work it out. The Lord Jesus reverently spoken doesn't come to stand beside us as we sit idle and He will do it for us. No, He will do it in us, and He will do it in us by means of us doing it. So that's why it's a fruit and at the same time a purpose.
threefold purpose.
So that we may become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ in everything we think, we say, and do. And then in that very process, God is praised, our faith is reassured, and others are won to Christ. And there are three aspects, three parts, which were also in Jesus, that must become evident in us also. And the first one is submission. Submission. To where God brings us and leads us in our life, no matter what circumstance, to bow under it. Submission. To where God leads us and to what God wants us to do. To say not yes but, or I like to do this or that. Yes, Lord, I'll do it. Knowing that all these things come to us by His good fatherly providence, and that they must work together for good. Then the Apostle Paul goes on in 14. He says, do all things that are set before you, without murmurings and disputings. Don't mutter, don't argue, don't talk back to the Lord and say that you'd rather have a different cross or a different activity to do. God says, this is what I place before you. Do it. But I can't do it. The Lord says, I will do it by means of you. I will do it. Look to my Son. Trust in His name. The Apostle Paul, he knew that it was impossible for him. That's why he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he says in chapter 4:13, I can do all things. All things. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. There's His power. So it doesn't say some things, pick and choose, all things. Submission. You see, the very act of submitting to God's providence shows our faith, or you could say proves our faith. It gives evidence of our faith to others, so we get to shine as that light. So it gives glory to Him. An increased assurance of faith by the very fruit, by the very outworking of it in our lives. And the Apostle Paul rejoiced in this. And he knew that in the very same process, God will not only be glorified, and the Apostle Paul assured in his faith, but others will be won to Christ. This is the way. Shine as lights in this way. Let your light so shine. So he urges the Philippians and us to live like him. As after at the end of verse 14 you see colon, so it goes on, which that submission has a purpose into service. So the second part, or the second aspect of becoming more and more like Jesus, is to serve like him, to be a servant. We're called to be servants. Look at the verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, the children of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We're not here just for ourselves, to please ourselves. We're not even created for that purpose. We're created for service, praising God and loving and serving one another. Called to be servants by being blameless, sincere, harmless, true. No one in the congregation should be able to accuse us of avoiding our duty or having an attitude towards certain duties or tasks. No right, boys and girls, to pull a face or a frown when we're asked to do something. Called to be servants, to be sons of God without rebuke, without blemish. And of course we can't be in ourselves, but in the Lord Jesus Christ God works this out in a measure, by bits and pieces, a step at a time, as we are in the midst of a crooked, kind of dishonest and perverse, distorted generation. People that walk in darkness.
Where will they see the light if it's not by us? You see, we are to be the exact opposite of what the world displays. Where the world is dishonest, man by nature is dishonest. We must be honest and true and upright, not because we are better, but because Christ dwells in us. So we are to shine as lights, reflecting something of Christ into this world. So when it says, let your light so shine, it doesn't mean that you have to put your own thoughts there, but Christ. Not only in your actions, but also in your words. Very important. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Holding forth the word of life, both in your actions as well as in your words, they must go together. Why is that so important? But we must witness boldly the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be our fountain, our power, our source. Otherwise the people think we're better than they are. If we do all these good things before them, if we do not make it known to them that it is because of Christ and for His name's sake that we are what we are. So many people are turned off by Christians because they don't know the difference. They think just that we are better people and that we look down upon other people. Woe unto us if that's the impression we've given to them. I must make it plain to them that we are sinners like they are. Worse, if anything, because we have more light. And express it to them too. It's witness to them that we are saved and we live rightly, whatever we do rightly, only by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, in His name. The power of His name. And the answer says, by our godly conversation. Now that word conversation today means just our talk. But in the Bible times, it means both walk and talk. Our godly conversation. Others may be gained to Christ. Maybe you've heard it said that by someone who doesn't want anything to do with the church or with Christianity. He says, yeah, but if it means to be like this person or that person, I will have no part of it. That's an awful indictment. If that's indeed the reason why people do not come to church or to Christ, because of us not being the light in our actions, maybe they can talk nice, but what is our life? What is our walk? Maybe we can walk circumspectly, but if you don't make it clear that it's out of Christ that we have all that, then we're failing also. We can't win others to Christ by just being good. There's a lot of good people in the world, so to speak, good people. But they don't win each other to Christ if they do not name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and turn to the Scriptures. Paul says, prove God's word true by your Christ-like walk and talk. Really, of course, it's prove yourself to be true. But in a sense, we prove the word to be true. We prove that the fact is that the word of God does have effect in our lives. Not only in submission and in service, but also in sacrifice. The Apostle Paul anticipates his joy in the day of Christ when the Lord Jesus will return on the clouds to see sinners saved by the witness of the Philippians, by the witness of himself, by our witness. And of course, we know that not everyone will believe the gospel. Many not only will reject it, but will turn into anger and persecute those that so witness Christ. You know what peer pressure does. Peer pressure is when a whole group of people want to do something bad, but there's one that wants to be good, and perhaps, maybe not even, a true believer, that's possible. But how the anger of the group centers on that one person that wants to be good. It's a typical human response. All the more so when it's Christ at work. That's why so many all over the world give the ultimate witness. Witness meaning being a martyr. You know what a martyr, what that means? It's witness. Witnessing something of the Lord Jesus Christ. The martyr's death, as Paul also eventually did. He indeed submitted himself in that service, following the Lord Jesus Christ. Third aspect of being like Christ, sacrifice. Yea, he says in verse 17, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. The word sacrifice, or the word offered, is to be poured out as a drink offering, a freewill offering, pouring out of his lifeblood. So the Apostle Paul sets before us the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he sets his own example before us too. As he follows the Lord Jesus, so he says, follow me, if necessary, even drinking that cup of suffering. You notice, he doesn't expect it to happen for sure, even in his own life. He says, and if I be offered, if it's the Lord's will, and if it's needed, the Apostle Paul is ready for it and to do it with joy. And can a man do such a thing? No man can do such a thing of himself unless he's totally deluded or unless he is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The same mind and the same spirit which moved the Lord Jesus Christ to lay down his life will be in a measure present also in those who follow him. And not every one of us is to give our life, in a sense, our life's blood, but we are to give our life as a sacrifice to God, denying a pleasure and an ease at this time and denying something else at another time. Maybe denying a little afternoon nap to come to Sunday school and to drive a few needy children to help. That's also giving your life. That's sacrifice. Doesn't necessarily mean big things right away. You may learn to give big things by first beginning to give small things. An hour here or an hour there, or perhaps using our talents or resources. Giving it up for Christ's sake. All in a different measure. With fear and trembling, God will do it if we look to him for it. As we then walk on, as the people of Israel walked to the Jordan River and they put their feet down on the water, the path opened up. That's really a beautiful picture also of this text. There are no two flowers alike, no two snowflakes alike, no two believers alike. Even though they'd be all like Christ, but all in a different measure, in different ways, in different talents, in different times, in different occasions, different opportunities. But all like Paul, we learn in a measure that to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, then something of submission, something of service, and something of sacrifice must manifest itself in us. To become more like the Lord Jesus Christ, to show evidence that He, by his word and by his Holy Spirit, is indeed at work in us. And this, the Apostle Paul says, is what true joy is all about. He says in verse 18, for the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. He wants us to know the same experience, the same joy, to be the same lights. Let your light so shine, he says. The congregation, as it is totally impossible to do it without the Lord Jesus Christ. Totally impossible to do it in our own strength. Is it therefore then totally foolish to stay away from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only source of power to live this life? As our lamps won't give light, if they aren't plugged in and switched on, So we will not bring forth this life unless and until we do surrender our all unto the Lord Jesus Christ and put a trust in His name. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus. It's a simple song, and it is true. And so we've come indeed to the third part of the Heidelberg Catechism about thankfulness, how to live the godly life. Lord's Day 32 through 52 really is a joyous tribute to God. Salvation is of the Lord. Even though it's all about what we must do, it is at the same time all about what God will do through us. That's the keeping of the Ten Commandments. That's the praying of the Lord's Prayer. We must do it. But thanks be to God, He will do it through us. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen.